We are the Satellite Sisters. Not every conversation will change your life, but any conversation can. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here in Santa Monica, California today with my two sisters. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. How's everything there?
I'm very well, Liz, because today is the first day of my second annual personal citrus festival that I like to run every January. So I went to the store this morning, and I have blood oranges, I have heirloom navel oranges, I have tangelos, I have mandarin oranges, I've got lemons, I've got limes. So I'm having a little citrus festival, and I suggest that everybody can participate in that. You know, this flu season, there's a lot of germs out there, and you would benefit from citrus.
You know, it's funny because this morning is the first morning ever in my life that I drank hot water with lemon in it, because I read about that on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group that allegedly that's good for you first thing in the morning. So I'm going to give that a go as my citrus commitment is a little bit of that. And Lee and Nolan, you are in Pasadena, California. Welcome home. You just got back from Washington, D.C.
I did, Liz and Julie. It was an exciting weekend. But I'd like to get in on this citrus thing. I mean, I don't want to rub it in your faces, but I have an unbelievable lime tree and a Meyer lemon tree and an orange tree. And Satsuma's right in the backyard. So it's always a citrus festival at my house, is I guess what I'm saying. Always. In fact, I have so many limes since they came down in the rainstorms. I had to juice a whole bunch, and you freeze the lime juice. And then you know what you can make in the summer?
Margaritas.
So, yeah.
Okay. Because that is all classifies as part of the citrus festival.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you.
All right. Well, we do have a very full Satellite Sister show for you today. Leon has her complete report from Washington, from the March on Washington and other activities. I, last week, was away. I was in San Miguel de Allende, Mexico. As you heard on the show, we had some limited connectivity. So I was going to tell you about where I was last week, but you're going to hear about it this week. This week, I also reached, the only way I can describe it is the height of laziness, like the lowest low point of laziness, not just me personally. I defy anyone to do anything lazier than I did yesterday. So,
I can't wait to hear.
You're pretty proud of yourself.
Well, no, because Leon, it was the bottoming out. Oh. It was it. It was
you've always been an overachiever. You can't just be lazy. You have to like win lazy. Okay.
Yes. But of course, we also have a First Lady's Desk report, right, Julie?
Yes, we do. Full report. Many First Ladies I'm going to be talking about. Mm-hmm.
And some Tuesday trends, and the Oscar noms came out this morning. It's not a full report, but we just have some gut reactions to a few of the Oscar noms. But let's start with you, Leon, the Women's March in Washington. Can I just say, like, you set out some goals in the middle of November, and you are ticking down your list, sister.
It's unbelievable, Liz. That's what I kept saying all weekend long. Or my friends and I, like, we can't believe we're here. We can't believe we're here. Because it was a wild hair of an idea right after the election, and rumors of that Women's March in Washington started, and we just felt compelled to go. And my college friend Barb pulled the trigger, and then I got on board. She brought her sister-in-law from Denver, and her daughter came in from Ohio. But I was so glad I went to D.C. But right, in November, after the election, I felt like I had to regroup, set out some goals for myself. And one was, it was act locally, act nationally, act globally, and act personally. So on the act personally, I said, I'm getting a dog. And check, did it.
Steffi's in the house. I mean, in fact, she'll probably be on the show in a little while, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But she's been fantastic. Can I just say, get a dog, people. If you're having a hard time with anything happening in the news, I mean, we are just walking it off. We are walking off a lot of issues. She is benefiting from a lot of free time that I have, and we are just walking it off. And she's fantastic. And no one was happier to see me yesterday than Steffi when I got home.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. And then act locally, I'm still working on that one. Act nationally, I had said, you know, I'm going to go to this march. And it wasn't even a real march then, but I just made reservations. I used all my frequent flyer miles. I said, I'm just going to put some plane tickets on the board to go to DC and see what happens. And I have to say, I was really happy to be there and be counted and, you know, stand up for the things I believe deeply in and stand up for the state of California. I was sort of set out this big goal, like, well, I need to represent the women of California. But I think that was what was particularly powerful about the Washington March was women and men, mainly women, were there from all over. And that, you know, there was from all 50 states. I had extended conversations with women from Alabama that were there and women from Detroit that were there. My friends came from Seattle and they came from Denver and they were there. You know, we stood next to women from Atlanta who were there. So there was a feeling that it was a big national march. So I really, really enjoyed that piece of it. But
have
you
ever done any marching at all, Leanne?
No. Well, you know, Julie, I was thinking back. There was some small protesting, 1985. You know, in a lawn chair out in front of the president's house in college, listening to Bob Marley requesting that they divest their investments in South Africa. That was probably. Okay. Remember that face? Remember?
Yes.
I was there. 1985.
It was probably about the lawn chair and the music.
Yeah. Yeah. For like an hour on a Friday afternoon. Okay. So, you know, but I have always, so I don't think of myself as an activist, but I have paid attention on issues.
You're an informed citizen.
For
no
many,
doubt.
Many yeah. years, right? I yeah. take my role as a U.S. citizen very seriously. I do believe in being informed. I'm a big girl. So I, you know, now, so I know that both parties have issues that are great, that are worthwhile pursuing, and both parties, you know, have a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know, I understand the way the world works, so I'm not, you know, I don't see everything in rose-colored glasses or strictly for party lines. So I take that very seriously, but a lot of the things that I feel are on the table in the next 4 years are things that I've really paid attention to. So I would just say Washington is a fantastic city of symbols. I mean, on Friday, we had the presidential inauguration. I mean, that's an incredibly powerful ceremony, and we do it very well in America. And it was peaceful, mm-hmm. and we saw the transfer of power, and we get those visuals of the Capitol steps. And then, you know, the president gets 20 minutes to lay out their vision of the future and the inauguration. And, you know, people can listen to that unfettered from any, you know, media filter. And you can decide, are you on board? And then we have the parade and the balls and everything. And then the next day, you know, 500,000 people showed up to use their constitutional rights to protest peacefully and freedom of speech to say what they had to say. So that just in and of itself was kind of powerful, because when I arrived Friday night, I took a midday flight from the West Coast. So I got in around 9 in D.C. and we were just staying near the airport. And so once I got to the hotel bar, I wanted to have dinner waiting for my friends. And, you know, half the bar, I would say a third of the bar was women coming in for the march. A third of the bar were people in black tie and ball gowns who had been to the inaugural balls and apparently gotten no food. So they were eating. And then a third of the bar were, high school kids on a field trip, which I think is the hotel lobby. There were no fistfights, people. No fistfights whatsoever.
It's good to hear.
America
to hear.
Was just happening. It was all happening right there at the airport Marriott bar. Like, this is what's happening this weekend. We got the high school kids, we got the people in ball gowns, and we got the people in pink hats. And we're going to make it work. And I was just so grateful that it was peaceful. As I have to say, I had a lot of apprehension going in. Like, if one more person said to me, be safe, Leanne, or, you know, several people were more pointed, I don't know why you're putting yourself in danger going to represent your values. I mean, I was so freaked out. I left the passwords for my, like, Facebook page on my desk in my office, because I thought, well, if I don't come home, at least my husband can post a nice memoriam on my Facebook page. I mean, it's laughable.
You were freaked out.
Yeah, it's laughable now, but
I think... That's quite a forethought, Leanne.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because he doesn't even know how to use Facebook. But, I just felt like what I don't want is it to be not peaceful, if there are to be issues, you know? Both days should have, you know, their ability to shine forth. The inauguration, yes. It happened. He's the president. Fine. And the next day, the protests. Fine. So we got there Friday night, and the next morning we had done everything we were supposed to do. I got in early. I went right to the metro station to get our metro cards, because they said get them in advance. It's going to be crowded. And, you know, shout out to the Washington, D.C. metro authorities. They were fantastic. They had people stationed in the station to show all these ladies how to use the metro. Julie, I know you appreciate that.
Did you have to dip?
No, it was a touch. Oh. You just touched. So several people were trying to shove their cards into the thing. So they couldn't have been better. There was a full complement at 9 o'clock at night on Friday night of people standing near the automated, you know, the money things. I was buying four for our whole group, and how much money should I put on in this? And then, you know, then I had to get in and out. They couldn't have been nicer. So we did that. So we were ready to go Saturday morning. My friend's daughter was flying in from college that morning. So, you know me, I would have gotten up and gotten going at like 5 a.m., which is brutal when you come from the West Coast. But we waited because we finally had the scheduled events. We thought, thank goodness we didn't need to be there any longer. It was a long day. And so then we got all ready to go. We had 26 layers on. We were just practicing dehydration because we knew there was going to be very limited access to porta potties. We were like, don't drink a lot of water. Don't drink a lot of coffee. Just be prepared to be dehydrated today. And we ran to the metro station. It was so crowded, we couldn't even get in the metro station. Just packed. Like, we went down the stairs. No one was moving. We looked at each other. You know, I'm a little claustrophobic. Other people had issues. It was, we said, let's walk to the march. We knew it was only about 3 miles. So that's what we did.
We marched to the march.
We walked along.
Good, Leanne. I hope you're wearing your Fitbit. Got those steps counted.
Julie, we did 9.5 miles that day. So
that's good.
Yeah, that was a lot of walking and marching, and yeah, everybody in our team had a Fitbit on. So I just used my phone, but so that was actually, again, really symbolic thing, because you're marching along the Potomac, and then we go across the 14th Street Bridge, and it was raining, and it had been foggy, and not really raining, but definitely foggy and cloudy. And then the clouds lifted, and there's the Washington Monument, and everyone, the giant pack of people is moving forward. And we sort of came in behind the Washington Monument, and the march was meant to start up near the Capitol on Independence Avenue, and sort of come around through past the Washington Monument so you could see down the mall. And then end up behind that big park that's behind the White House there, if you know Washington. And it was thrilling to march across that bridge and see people and look down Independence Avenue. I can't even.
Yeah, Washington is very dramatic and symbolic anyway. So to be there with the group, being heard, yeah, I can see why you would get very emotional about that.
Yeah, it just kind of took your breath away. We all sort of stopped and went, wow, because we looked down Independence Avenue and we couldn't get anywhere close to the Capitol. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, there were already hundreds of thousands of people there. And there was something about those pink hats that really just made it all happen. And that was fantastic to see. And that's what I mean. There were huge moments like that. We thought, okay, I am really, really glad I'm here and being counted and doing this. And this is what being a citizen of the United States means, that you have the right to do this. And that's an incredible right. And you have the right to disagree or agree or reach out to other people. So I loved that. Was one of my favorite moments. And then we started
Sounds dramatic. Can I just say, speaking of hats, I noticed that your friends were in the pussy hats.
Yeah.
But you opted for the Satellite Sister hat.
I did opt for the Satellite Sister hat. Yep. Originally, I was going to wear...
Liz, as our brand manager, is just so happy with the product placement that you did during the Women's March.
Well, it was also pink, so that was nice, too, that you happen to have a pink Satellite Sister hat. But I appreciated that.
Thank you, Liz. Originally, I was going to wear my California Bear hat because I felt strongly. And then I put the beanie on, and several people were like, oh, is that a Russian bear? That's funny. I was like, no, it's the state symbol of California. So I did not. I was concerned. Okay. I did not want to be seen as a pro-Russian.
Misinterpreted.
No.
As a Bolshevik. You did. That's good, Leon. Because you would have been culled from the crowd, no doubt.
There was. So again, remember, I left the passwords for my Facebook account on my desk. So I was like, okay, I'm going to switch to the pink Satellite Sister hat. And shout out to Jenny Schmidt from Iowa, who sent those hats to my friends. Thank you very much. Because goodness knows none of us could knit. But they were, you know, but it was, we walked as far as we could. The speeches had already started. We thought, okay, we got up to about the Smithsonian Castle, if you know DC. Uh-huh. And that's when it started to get so thick, you couldn't really move forward. And there was a jumbotron right there. So we thought, oh, well, let's just take a break and get up on these steps, get some high ground and watch for a little bit. And then 45 minutes later, it was just filled in. Like, we could not move. So that was as far as we got, but I was so glad We could see a jumbotron. We could hear the speeches. We were on high ground. So even though we didn't do it all intentionally, it was a great place to stop because, you know, we were there for 4 hours listening to everyone speak. And there were really some great small moments in the speeches, you know, just people talking about why they were there. And it was a variety of issues and a variety of people and groups. But in general, it was a very positive, motivating message. There were not a lot of speeches that were taking down people or places or things. It was all about, okay, we're here. This is why I'm here. You got to do the work. You got to stay engaged. You know, this is just the beginning. Today you march, tomorrow you work. And it was just in general fantastic. Now, remember, most of the people there could not see or hear any of the speeches. So yeah. What was really amazing about the peaceful part is that, for instance, we were standing on what we learned later. We couldn't even turn around to see the sign. That's how packed it was the Department of Energy building. And there's a big plaza there. There must have been 10,000 people standing behind me, literally 10,000 people standing behind me in a plaza who could not see or hear anything for 4 hours.
Wow.
And they stood.
That's commitment. Yeah.
They stood patiently. They waited, you know, until like the march was ready to go. The march was supposed to go off around 1:15, but people were still talking and people were still coming up. And so we didn't really start marching till about 2:30. So, mm-hmm. I mean, people, that was is a long time. And at one point between like 1 and 2, I would say we were so packed in, you could barely shift weight.
Oh,
I mean,
well, I bet you were cold because you're with so many people, right?
What's that?
Were you cold? You probably weren't cold given you were packed in.
No. I mean, you weren't.
But how did that work with your claustrophobia? I mean,
you know what? That's where the high ground helped, Liz. Okay. Yeah. That's where the high ground helped. Because I was okay. We had just had we were sort of on the top step of these three steps. So I had a little bit of freedom. Although I have to say, you know, it was great that the men showed up. But why did all the tall ones have to stand in front of us? You know what I mean? You go to a women's march when you're 5'4", you think, I'm finally going to be able to see something, you know? And sure enough, like giant people holding signs. It's not helpful. So
that's a note for the next big march.
Yeah. I mean, men, stand in the back. I don't know what else to say. Stand on the fringes. Like, we're here. We're marching. We just like to see for once in our lives, men. At one point, this guy and it looked like a husband and wife game. And they were trying to like get up the stairs and go somewhere, but there was no going anywhere. People were shoulder to shoulder. And he of course was wearing a backpack, which you weren't supposed to do because backpacks take up a lot of room. He had his LL Bean backpack on and he kept badgering his wife like, well, why aren't they marching now? Blah, 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 blah. Well, it's 1:15. We should get going. And all the women were just looking at him like, you're a buzzkill, buddy. Okay. She doesn't know. Like, it's just.
Right.
Well,
that was solidarity and violence.
Yeah. So really, that was the closest I came to hitting anybody was that guy. But so my favorite sign of the day was I'm marching, make your own damn sandwiches. And I was one. I appreciate it. But, you know, I think what summed it up for me was the feeling, you know, there was a feeling of unity and it was something less than joy. And it was one of the organizers, Tamika Mallory, who said in a nice way, like in a polite way, like, this is not a party. It's not a parade. It's a protest. And that sort of coalesced, like, why was I feeling there was a seriousness and a somberness, I thought, to the whole vibe. You know, people were there for a reason. It wasn't Lilith Fair with signs. You know what I mean? It wasn't Mardi Gras. It was there. People were there for a reason. Whatever their reason was, they were there to express it. So even though there were so many people, and really the whole march route filled in with people. So the marching, at one point there was a rumor going around that the march part wasn't going to happen. But as soon as she said, no, we're marching, people just turned around and started walking. Like they were like, okay, high sign, let's go. Even though the speakers were still speaking. Because people were there to march, to you know, use that as an act of protest, the actual It wasn't a gathering. It wasn't a rally. It was a march. And so that kind of summed it up for me. And we stayed until all the speakers had spoken. I like Maxwell. I wanted to see him sing. I didn't even know there were going to be singers. I didn't even really know who was showing up. So when Alicia Keys showed up, I'm like, Alicia Keys, you know, she's the most talented woman in the world. So she was great.
Way better than Bob Marley on the lawn of your college.
She is. She was great. And, you know, they were just great moments. I have such respect for Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon Martin's mother. So seeing her on stage, it was very powerful. Or the little girl who spoke out about, you know, keeping families together who might, you know, the kids may be undocumented or the parents may be undocumented. The 8-year-old girl who spoke out about that. One of the organizers, Carmen Perez, her professor from University of Santa Barbara came. That was a powerful moment about mentors and women supporting each other.
So we could have done with less Madonna, more of that. Is that what you're saying?
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Ashley Judd probably should have been cut from the
book. Okay, I will say this. We got there. Ashley, that was right when we like sort of took our perch was Michael Moore and Ashley Judd. And what was funny or not funny was the audio kept cutting out. It wasn't great audio when you were there. So just words would pop out. And at one point we all looked at each other and were like, what is happening? And as I said, I think my mother would have said, I think she's on something. I mean, I don't want to spread rumors, but that was one of those things, like, because we couldn't hear every word and we just arrived, we're like, what is happening here? So
I think I heard a lot of her words together. I still had that same impression, Liam. So good. So okay.
I saw that on YouTube on Sunday. I watched some of the highlights. I thought she was great, but I can, Ashley Judd, but I can understand why you were spread out over those many like meters of the whole mall, you would have had no idea what was happening.
You just really had no idea what was happening. And then, you know, with Madonna, you know, I love her. So, and when she showed up, first of all, of course, she had the black pussy hat on, which was brilliant. You know, she went with the hat, but she did it her own way. So I thought that was on point. But as soon as she said that thing, you know, first of all, no, you should never, ever threaten physical violence.
That was awful.
Not a joking.
That was a terrible, terrible thing. Yeah. And no matter what she did to try to walk it back, that was not right.
Yeah. And as soon as I groaned, most of the crowd groaned, people sort of reacted like, oh no, she didn't. You know, I mean, but it was one of 4 hours of things. So I'm not surprised that that's the clip they just played over and over and over again. But there were many moments that was, I would say, in general, there was very, very little actual pointed vitriol. It was, in general, most of the speeches didn't mention the new president by name. It was not about, let's rehash what happened then. And it was not about, you know, it was about the future. So I didn't watch any of the coverage, but I imagine, like, as soon as she said it, I was like, oh gosh, it's not acceptable. It wasn't acceptable when it happened in the campaign and there were threats. It's never, ever acceptable. And I would say that is how the crowd reacted. So where I was at the department. At the Department of Energy. And where I was, meeting the Department of Energy. And then we started, finally, once the quote march started, we just stood our ground. We stayed and just watched for an hour as people went by. You know, they're moving fairly slowly. So it was easy to read the signs and sort of take it all in, the enormity of it. You have absolutely no perspective on what was happening when you were there. We didn't even really know where we were in relation to the stage or anything. And then, you know, then you start marching and you come around the corner and there's the Capitol and the White House and the Washington Monument and, you know, thousands and thousands of bodies marching peacefully. You know, the National Guard was great. The police officers were great. Everybody did what they were supposed to. So it was just a really powerful weekend. And then everybody went to find a porta potty. I think that was it. And then after 6 solid hours of standing, people fanned out to find bathrooms all over Washington. But, you know, in general, there was a wonderful spirit, but there was a spirit of seriousness to the march. And then a lot of great conversations afterwards with, you know, it was the kind of event where you felt like you could just introduce yourself to anybody. Where are you from? Why are you here? you know, the women next to us were, they had come, they had six church buses from Atlanta. They had all gotten on the bus and come on up. I, you know, the women from Alabama I talked to extensively. That, you know, seemed like, okay, you're here from Alabama. On the plane ride home, I you know, was waiting in the airport, talked to a woman from Detroit who had met her mother, her aunts, her cousins, her sisters all there, and they had flown in from all over the country. So there was just a wonderful spirit of, you know, okay, great. I'm glad you're here. Go back, do the work, whatever you need to do. So I was great. I'm so glad I went. So glad I went.
That's great.
All right, Lane. Well, will we see this in an upcoming novel by Lane Dolan? Do you think that the heroine will be involved in protest marches?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what will, I mean, for me personally, now you have to sort of decide what your action item is. I mean, a march is something you can hang your hat on. And as Gloria Steinem said, you know, okay, today we march, but tonight you need to go home. You need to ask your friends, okay, what do we do tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day? And that's actually sort of what we did at dinner. And then Sunday, I had the whole day there in Washington, and I was able to meet my sister-in-law, who was there, and my niece, who was there. My sister-in-law came from Berkeley. My niece came from college in Ohio. And we, you know, we talked about that, and everybody at the breakfast spot had been at the march, and then we went to a museum, and everybody there had been at the march, and everybody was introducing themselves and talking. And so just I think engagement. And for me, it's, you know, getting more women into office. I just think that's the, in either party, I really think that would be a huge breakthrough. And there are organizations that work on that every single day. And, you know, informing yourself, voting, and getting more women into office, I think are really important things. That's what I took away from it. But people took their own thing away. There were a lot of young people there, a lot of young people, a lot of young women, a lot of young men, but a lot of young women. I thought, okay, here we go. I'm sure young women had not really encountered a lot of this before. And I think the election was a wake-up call for them. So, yeah, I don't know about, will it filter into my fiction? I don't know. But will it filter into my life? Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So that's great. Yeah, that's great. Well, I know we have to take a break to thank a sponsor. But before we do that, I want to say that, of course, the next massive gathering of women in America is the Satellite Sisters' appearance on April 22nd at the Santa Monica Public Library.
Okay. Yes. No hats required. You just bring the hats. We don't
wear your hat if you want. You want to make new signs, bring old signs, whatever. But we'll put all the, you'll hear more details about this, but we just do want to remind people, if you have a moment where you want to get together with your own Satellite Sisters and just have a fun weekend in Southern California, we are going to be speaking at the Santa Monica Public Library on April 22nd. That's a Saturday. We will be there at 2 p.m. All five sisters will be there. We haven't quite figured out exactly what we're going to do, but there'll be 2 p.m. Saturday, April 22nd. Then we're going to organize some kind of no-host meetup. Maybe we'll march to a meetup. You know, we'll get it close enough to the library. So, you know, it'll only be a couple of blocks, but we can have a march to our meetup. So we're working on that. So just circle that on your calendar if you want to be together with a number of your Satellite Sisters. And now we will take a quick break to thank a sponsor.
Hi, it's Leanne and Julie here with Satellite Sisters. And we want to thank Satellite Sisters for supporting the people that support us.
And we're back. We still have a whole list of things we need to talk to you about. But first, as long as we're talking Washington, Julie, the First Lady's desk must be, it's just a whole new world for you. So much First Lady news over the last week or two.
Well, it is a whole new world. And I was very busy monitoring all things. I mean, first of all, the departure of who surely is one of the all-time great First Ladies, Michelle Obama. And, you know, the whole country benefited from her participation and her leadership and her style and grace. And I think, you know, that is really, you know, that's something to mark, that her tenure as first lady. And it's now we have a new first lady, or should I say a new first family, because they have officially renamed the office of first lady to the office of the first family. We knew with this election.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. That's the we knew with this election.
She's monitoring the situation.
I know. Thank God we have a desk.
For a long time, people.
and as we said here at the First Lady's desk, that this is that we support all first ladies and to do whatever they want to do, that we are not a partisan group, and that we try to lift up all first ladies. And now apparently we're going to lift up all first families, because we knew with this election that there was going to be a change in the First Lady's desk anyways. If we were looking at President Clinton as the first lady, and now in this case, we're going to have the first family. So that will be interesting to watch. And I just think that Melania Trump did a beautiful job. Now, you have to keep in mind, like Michelle Obama, who never grew up dreaming to be first lady. I know that was never Michelle Obama's dream. And there she was in that role and just knocked it out of the park. I am certain that Melania Trump was never dreaming that she would become first lady of the United States. And now she has that role. And that we just need to give her time and give that family time to define that role and to do great things. So I'm really saying, please, as I've always said, leave the ladies alone.
Exactly.
And you know who I'm talking about, Chelsea Handler. You know who I'm talking about. I mean, this is just not. I mean, you know, I think, Leon, your comments were very inspiring. Okay, if you didn't agree, if you don't agree with this administration, you know, get involved. You know,
right.
Do something. But to post snarky stuff about Melania Trump, okay, that's not really being involved. Okay,
no, it's the easiest thing you can do. Even Gloria Steinem said we need afterwards. You know, hit send is not. That's not
a strategy,
an
right.
action.
Right.
That's not a strategy, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we just really, you know, need to let her develop in that role, need to let that family develop in that role, because none of them, you know, thought that they were going to be in that position. And I have particular empathy for Melania Trump, because as a spouse that had to relocate my children twice in the middle of a school year because of my husband's position, I can totally empathize with the fact that she is trying to create the most stable environment for her son. And I also think that NBC did the right thing by suspending that SNL writer for putting out that terrible tweet. Okay. We have to leave those families alone. Okay. That wasn't funny.
Yeah. It just seems like by now, I can't believe there's anyone that doesn't understand that the kids are off limits.
Right.
You know, that's crazy to me. But
yeah. So we're just reviewing some of the basic principles today of, you know, let's really, if you want to protest, you want to do something else, but leave this family alone. I also want to just do a shout out to Mrs. Barbara Bush, who has been in the hospital, as well as President Bush. They are on the mends, but I have to give a particular shout out to Barbara Bush, because, you know, here she is. Her husband is in, you know, the ICU unit here in a hospital in Houston. And then she ends up in the hospital because of exhaustion, but they want to put out a photo. And don't you know that Barbara Bush, she found herself a cute little sweater set and slapped those pearls on and got her earrings in, and she's smiling in the picture. Good for her, you know? Good for her.
She understands what her public wants to see.
Yes, she is. Yes, she understands what it means to be a first lady, okay? Okay, she wasn't going to be in a bathrobe or a hospital gown. She got pearls in the hospital. Okay. So that's the kind of people. Everybody is going to define that as they will. And if we try to either not say anything, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it, as our mother would always say.
On any format.
Yes. Thank you, Liam.
Because you could also waste a lot of energy over one tiny sentence, and just don't do that. Just move along with your life.
Move along.
And guess what? It's not going to change anyone's mind about anything.
No.
So save yourself the trouble.
You're right. Yeah. You're right, Liz. Okay. And just one final note about civility this week. Just could we all agree, all across this great nation, No discussing politics on airplanes. Okay, please, please. We've already had a couple of incidents. And I mean, don't we have enough to deal with when we get on planes? You know, no overhead bin space. They're dirty. They're delayed. We got weather. Just no politics, people. Please. Right?
You know, I have to just finish with one story about the airport yesterday, which brings this up. So we're getting in line. That's nightmare at DCA. Our plane is late. They've switched equipment. 20 people have to get off. You know, we're finally boarding an hour and a half late. And there are, it's like half and half, men, women. So, you know, it's back to business as normal in Washington, D.C. But I was boarding with another young woman who was wearing her pink hat. And there are two men there. And they are not priority access, okay? Whereas we are. But they are literally standing in the middle of the priority lane. And they're talking like as loudly as they can about, well, I have status on another airline. Blah, blah, like it's some sort of male shame that they're not priority. And how could all these women be priority in the priority? And I just looked at her. I was like, back to the patriarchy. Here we go. Jeez, really? You have to prove yourself by the status of your freaking flyer miles on another airline? Oh, it's just ridiculous. So you're right, Julie.
Just no politics. Really, we should all agree. Just
no politics on planes.
Zip it. Yeah. No politics on planes.
Yeah, my seatmate was a male, and he said, were you at the march? And I just said, yes. And I didn't know what his status was, so I didn't want to get into it.
Don't even just
no follow up questions. Didn't say anything. No follow up. Yep, good. I was there.
Good, Leanne. That's the way to go.
All right. Well, speaking of travel, I spent a few days last week in the 18th century. Did a little bit of time travel. Got myself out of the mix here in the United States. I went with three friends. Take a few days off in the beautiful Mexican town of San Miguel de Allende. And it's up in the mountains in Mexico. And it's just this amazing, beautiful place. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And, you know, I've heard that thrown around a lot. And, you know, I've visited some. But I didn't know what that really meant. Yeah. I knew it meant it was a really cool place that, you know, the world was working on preserving. But mm-hmm. I looked up what it is just because I was kind of curious. And if just FYI, a UNESCO World Heritage Site is something cultural, historical, or scientific that symbolizes a remarkable footprint of extreme human endeavor. Wow. And it's also, so that's cool. And it's often coupled with an act of indisputable accomplishment of humanity, which then serves as a surviving evidence of its intellectual existence on the planet. So who knew? Anyway, so some of the U.S. World Heritage Sites are things like Yellowstone, the Grand Canyons, and the Everglades, but also Independence Hall is a World Heritage Site because it says so much about America and democracy and all of that. The Statue of Liberty, also World Heritage Site. Monticello and the University of Virginia, World Heritage Site. So so that's sort of the context here. But then in Mexico, there are places like Oaxaca, Chichen Itza. But Julie, I believe you've been to, in Jordan, you've been to Petra, right?
Yes, it's a remarkable site, and it definitely meets the category, as you just described. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in the news lately, we've seen a lot about Aleppo. Aleppo was a World Heritage Site.
I know.
And I say was because so much of it has been destroyed. You know that much of that was built in the third millennium BC. So anyway, so as San Miguel, is what's so interesting about it is that until the 1500s, it was indigenous people living there. Then when the Spanish arrived, that part of the world at the time was called New Spain. The Spanish arrived in the 1500s, and so they sort of took over. Then there was this whole silver mining boom in the 1600s and 1700s. And by the mid-1800s, just, you know, I don't want to be too pedantic about this, but I thought this was really cool. By the mid-1800s, San Miguel de Allende was bigger than either New York or Boston. How about that? That's pretty amazing.
That is shocking.
That is shocking.
Yes, because it was such a silver mining hub. Anyway, then that all went away. And for a long time, then what makes it so interesting is it just became like a ghost town. Like once the silver mining went bust, It was empty for like many, many years, frozen in time.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Hello, Steffi.
Steffi thinks it's amazing too. She cannot believe it. She wants to get into the conversation.
Sorry, Liz. Sorry. I know you're trying to really do some work here and stuff, and I'm sorry.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Lay some groundwork. But no, I'm done with laying the historical groundwork. So let me tell you what I really did. I was just kind of laying low last week. I was, as I said, with some friends. We went to cooking school one day, which is actually kind of fun.
That's shocking too. The second shocking fact.
I know. We made many things stuffed inside many peppers, and we made a cake
Liz making a cake.
You made a cake?
Yeah. Made a cake, Leon.
Yeah. You know that tres leches cake?
Yeah.
The sort of traditional, but we made that.
All Leon, right.
I now know how to make that. I'm sure you're not going to call on me to ever make you one, but well, I do still
do
have
to. You know how to make one now?
Like the last person in the world, Liz.
Yeah. Pastel de tres leches. I am looking at the recipe right now, and it's a recipe. Our teacher is a woman named Chris Rudolph, and she's been there in San Miguel for like 30 years, written a number of Mexican cookbooks, originally from Houston. There are a lot of, you know, Americans and Brits that live there as expatriates. But yeah, Leon, I'm looking at the menu right now, flour, baking powder, salt. Someday I'm going to shock you, and I'm going to actually make this.
Okay.
But so that was really fun. But it's also a town that a lot of people go to for longer visits to either go to Spanish language school or study art. And so you see a lot of people, particularly women of a certain age, I would say.
Yeah.
Women of a certain age kind of hanging out in San Miguel de Allende, you know, expanding themselves culturally. So that was really nice. And while I was there, I also read a book about living in San Miguel de Allende. It's a book called On Mexican Time by Tony Cohan. So it's sort of like the Mexican version of A Year in Provence or Under the Tuscan Sun. So if you're never going to have a chance to go to San Miguel, but you want to like feel what it would be like to be an expatriate moving there and sort of absorbing the culture. I mean, the Mexican culture is so fascinating because there have been all of these waves, the Aztecs, the Mayan, the Spanish, the modern age. So anyway, so that was sort of my lay low plan for last week. And then I got back this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so first day of the rest of my life was yesterday.
Okay. And how did that go, Liz? Yeah.
Well, I got to say, like, nobody has ever done anything lazier than what I did yesterday. I know I promoted this at the top of the show. Here's what happened. I'm feeling okay about it, but I got to whip myself into shape, right? I got to just recommit to like physical fitness and health and all of that. And I attempted to do this last summer and with very limited success. And I blame it on the fact that I bought a new Fitbit and then I lost it. So
that's good. That's like a whole new class of excuses.
Yeah.
Blame
Liz,
it on your
Fitbit. iPhone tracks stuff.
I know.
It's on there. Go to the heart thing right on your homepage. It's already loaded on. You can track your steps at the very least.
But
it's there.
I'm also trying to spend less time with my phone.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's part of the new life. So I decided yesterday, like, okay, maybe I should just get a new Fitbit. I know I need to track my physical activity. That would be good. But I was sitting here at my desk at home. And, you know, I was reading the various reviews of, you know, there's so many different fitness trackers out there. And once I started reading the reviews, I was like, well, I can just order this on Amazon. I don't even have to leave the house to go get a Fitbit. And then I realized like Amazon in my neighborhood has that Amazon Now service where you can order it and it arrives within an hour. Like you literally don't have to get out of your chair. You don't do anything. Just ding dong. An hour later, your new fitness tracker is there.
That's what you did?
So that's what I did, Leon. Yep. Because I thought, well, it would take me more than an hour to get in my car and drive to Best Buy and go buy one. Why do I need to do that? I can just sit here and
And how many points did you get once you slapped that fitness on?
So then I charged it up, and by last night I was racking up points. It's funny that you talk about your citrus celebration, Julie, because one of the things you realize eating Mexican food is part of what makes it so tasty is that they squeeze lime on everything,
right?
Yep. Yeah.
Just
yep.
Like the key to every food and drink, by the way, is lime.
Yeah.
So last night, once I got my Fitbit all charged up, I thought, I'm just going to walk down to the supermarket and I'm going to buy some limes. So that was my big fitness activity last night, is walking home with a bag of limes. But I'm trying to reorganize
Okay, it's not exactly, I'm just laughing because you were, you know, you've just been such a high profile, high productive person. And yeah. Now your big activity is you walked
I know.
And got a bag of limes.
This is what I mean, Julie. You have to start from the bottom. You got to start from the bottom and build yourself back up. Here's okay. What was distressing to me, but I'm going to overcome it. So when I went to go, that you know, you go online and you register your new Fitbit. So I went to go do that. And the one I lost this summer apparently was not this brand or whatever. But I guess I had one 3 years ago. Remember Operation Sea Turtle?
Oh,
my
yeah.
fitness program? Before we went to the Galapagos?
Yeah.
Well, I must have had a Fitbit then. And that was a very successful fitness program for me. So when I went to log into what I thought was my new Fitbit account, I realized I had an old Fitbit account. And the sad part was that it had my weight at the time of Operation Sea Turtle. So, but that's okay. It's good to face the facts, right? So during Operation Sea Turtle, I lost 22 pounds to get ready for that trip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sad to report that since Operation Sea Turtle, I have added 22 points.
Oh, shoot.
But 22 pounds. But the good news is I'm just back to where I started.
Right.
So I can start again. Yeah, Operation Sea Turtle 3, this is now. And
with a twist of lime. I think that's what's going to like make this one different. It's going to charge you up, Liz.
Yeah.
A bag of limes.
I'm going to send you some limes. Just count on it. I'm putting some in a box today. I'm sending it out there. Maybe I'll call Amazon. Maybe they can come to my house, pick them up, and deliver them to you. I can pick them off the tree, put them in a box, and deliver them to you.
Yes.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
So my new morning routine is to try to like get up, you know, since I lost Ferris 2 weeks ago, my first thing always used to be to walk Ferris. But as he got older, that was not exactly an aerobic activity, you know,
and that's those,
those walks got shorter and shorter. So now it's get up, get out of the house, go for a long walk, come back, read the paper, have, you know, some kind of protein-based something or other, and then start my day. So, but the read the paper part has also kind of fallen through the cracks. I'm not sure what happened with the delivery. I get the LA Times and the New York Times in the morning. Well, not the last 3 days I haven't. I keep calling and complaining, and it just hasn't arrived. But what I did get today, I went out to go get my New York Times. Nope, nothing. But I got a copy of a magazine called Childbirth Graphics.
Oh, so, that's right up your alley.
That sounds disgusting.
Childbirth graphics.
Yes, I am not sure what the message is supposed to be. It is. It's all posters you can buy for your doctor's office or something. Okay, so I didn't really read Childbirth Graphics. I'm sure you'll understand why. And so I just got to lock that newspaper thing into place. And then I have my new morning routine plus the lemon and hot water. There you go. And here's the best part about Operation Sea Turtle with a twist. Now that we have April 22nd as kind of a gathering of the Satellite Sisterhood, I have a little bit of a goal.
Yeah, you have a target date, Liz. I like it.
It's good to have a target date. So that's where I am. Height of laziness yesterday afternoon, but I'm climbing back up now. It all starts now with the twist.
Okay. I like it, Liz. That's positive. That's good. Just one day at a time. That's good. Yeah. Well, Liz, you know, it's Tuesday and I have some Tuesday trends, and you may find this interesting that both of these things were morning activities. So I don't know if you want to get involved with this or not. Now, the first one, I don't know anything about this, but I was out walking yesterday morning, and I noticed 30 women of a certain age, and it was early. It was like 7:30 in the morning. It's about 45 degrees here in Dallas. And there were 30 women of a certain age. They were all in their camp chairs. They had blankets. They had little coolers, coffee cups. And they were gathered outside a store that's not too far from my house, where there's a little like strip mall area pretty close to my house. And they were, I guess they were in line waiting for a store to open at 10 a.m. But at 7:30 in the morning, they were already in line waiting for this. But because it was all women, it was a very congenial line. In fact, it was kind of a circle. They were all sitting in a circle talking to each other. And so I said, "What are you doing here?" And they said they were there to get a rustic cuff. Have you heard this? Rustic cuff? Rusticcuff.com. This is a bracelet company. You can look at it online.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking it up.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Featured Rustic Cuff and featured in Oprah's favorite things of 2016 was a bracelet, a cuff called the Dallas Black Stingray Cuff. And apparently at the store that morning, they were going to be selling these bracelets. And the description of them, you know, are they're both classy and they've got kind of an edgy look to them. And they're apparently Gail King's favorite. So she enjoys these. They're handmade by this company that sort of specializes in bracelets. And all these women were like, they were scrambling to get one of these rustic cuffs.
I don't understand what they do. What do they do?
It's a bracelet. It's just a bracelet.
Oh, it's just a bracelet. Oh,
just a bracelet. That's it. Really? It doesn't count calories or steps or anything. Huh. It's a $96 bracelet, according to their website.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But
I don't know if I'd wait in line for one, but yeah.
I don't know either, man, but they were. They really
I'm
felt
sure you
like
can get it on Amazon and they'll bring it right to your door.
I mean, I'm not sure it's a like, oh my gosh, first in my neighborhood, rustic cuff kind of thing, but okay. All right.
Okay, but maybe there's something more to it. So I'm putting it out there. You know, if you know anything more about this company and why these bracelets are so hot, but apparently it was worth it to these 30 women to be sitting in line for several hours in kind of a chilly morning. Now, Liz, here is the second trend. So we're on it early. So if rustic cuff is a big deal, you heard it here first at Satellite Sisters.
Oh, you heard it here second. Right.
Second. Yeah, we heard it really second because Oprah discovered it. You're right, Liz. But okay. Now, this second thing, Liz and Leon, you have to do this. I'm thinking of signing up for this. Have you heard of daybreaker.com?
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah, get their emails. I've attempted several times to go to them, and it just hasn't worked out. Yeah.
Okay, this sounds fun. It's an email community. You sign up online, and once you sign up, members, and it costs like $20 or $25 to sign up. Once you sign up, members find out about a venue, usually about 3 weeks before the date. And then in the morning, because this event starts either around 6:30 or 7 a.m., it's a 2-hour full-on dance party. Yep.
Right.
Dance party in the morning. And it includes, they have DJs, they have professional DJs, and every 15 minutes as part of this dance party, they have wow moments where they might have an aerialist or a slam poet or some other performer, and you get green juice or coffee and tea and breakfast treats, and you come and dance. And it's offered in 15 different cities, and there are up to 400 people at these dance parties in the morning.
Dance party. Yes. Wow. That's a big idea.
I think it's a big idea. It's called daybreaker.com. They have dance parties in Dallas. So I'm a little afraid I might be the oldest person going to this dance party, but I might get a friend and see if we might sign up and see if we'd go. Yeah.
Yeah. They do it in LA. It's in a bunch of cities across the country now. A friend of mine has been, she said they're really fun. And the idea is like you're dancing, there's no drugs, there's no alcohol, there's nothing because it's 6 a.m. So that's, you know, it's sort of just a feel good dance party at 6 a.m. Yeah. They're packed in LA. Packed. They're definitely packed.
So Liz, I think you should get on that. You could add that to your morning routine when you're not shopping for rustic cuffs early in the morning. Okay.
All right. I have the whole rustic cuff store here. It's sort of interesting. The founder was a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show. She came on because she was a self-proclaimed regifter. Uh-huh. Little did she know she was ambushed by a panel of etiquette experts who labeled her rude and tacky for regifting.
Yes.
So she felt so terrible after that. She's like, oh, I guess I have to give my family and friends something new and something interesting. And so she created these bracelets.
Exactly.
And then she ended up giving one to Gail King, who regifted it to Oprah, who wore it on the cover of her magazine. So there you go. Wow. It's an inspirational story.
That's a good story. Let's do that.
There you go, Julie. Well done.
All right. Well, wow. We have worked through a lot of material, but breaking news this morning are the Oscar noms. Have you guys had a chance to look at any of the Oscar nominations?
I have, Liz. Yeah.
You probably have some gut reactions. Julie, can I just say the movie that you brought to Satellite Sisters' attention very early on in the movie season was Hell or High Water, nominated for Best Picture, sister.
Yeah.
Oh, it was? Oh, good. Yeah.
Yes, oh, and Jeff Bridges and the screenplay, best screenplay.
Oh, that was a great. I was wondering why that didn't get more more Golden Globe nominations. I was like, that was a great movie. Where the heck is that one? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Oh, great.
Yeah, the best picture noms are Arrival, which I'm never going to see.
It was actually pretty good, Liz.
Really? I slept through the whole thing. I literally couldn't keep my eyes open.
All right, you got a split decision.
I thought it was terrible.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So it's Arrival, Fences, which I've seen Denzel Washington in the play. Yeah. So he was excellent. So I'll probably get around to seeing the movie, but haven't rushed out to that. Hacksaw Ridge. That's
never
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Then Hell or High Water. Yeah. Hidden Figures, which I think I might go see today. I think that could be my, because I haven't gotten around to that.
Bring a couple of oranges with you, Liz, and go to the movies.
I know in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, people have been talking about that movie and how great it is. And then La La Land, of course. Lion, which sounds like a total tearjerker. Uh-huh. Manchester by the Sea, which I loved. It's very slow and very sad. And again, I know some people in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group found it boring, and I can understand why it's not for everyone, but I really enjoyed that movie. And Moonlight, which I also enjoyed, very poetic and beautiful, and about a life story that you have not seen before on the screen. So those are the noms. I think that's a pretty good list.
I think it's a good list. I also want to say A Man Called Ove, which was our Satellite Sister book club pick. The movie was nominated for Best Foreign Film. So, how about that? And of course, Justin Timberlake, my guy, his Can't Stop the Feeling was nominated for Best Song. So we all want to vote for that.
No, I'm sorry, because he's up against my guy, Lin-Manuel Miranda, for the song from Moana. So
from Moana, I thought the songs from La La Land were great. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough category.
I know. Now, here's my only thing about La La Land, Leanne, is I enjoyed scenes of that movie, but the whole time I was watching that movie, I kept thinking that Patina Miller, Daisy on Madam Secretary, and Eric Bergen, Blake on Madam Secretary, real song and dance people would have done a better job in the leads. That's really my thing. It's a musical. You should have gotten Broadway stars to be in that show.
I don't think you're alone in that assessment, but I think the director had a clear vision. So and I think the Academy disagrees, but. Yeah, someday it will be a musical on Broadway, and they can put those people in the leads. But there was certain charm. I think that was intentional of the director. So I love La La Land. I thought it was great. So
yeah, I thought it was lovely. Yeah. Did you see there was a skit about it on Saturday Night Live this past weekend about people getting arrested for not loving La La Land? it was super funny. Well, you know, because it's the morning and people have to pretend they're surprised, and you know, publicists are out peddling their clients' first reactions. There's already news here on the West Coast about who's saying what about being nominated, and I've one low light and one highlight. The low light is Mel Gibson. His response this morning is, what could be better than to get the news that I, because he won a Best Director nom, what could be better than got a Best Director nomination than sitting here while I'm sitting here holding my newborn son? And I was like, Mel Gibson has a newborn son?
Okay, no details, no follow-up questions.
And then the Allison Schroeder got a nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay for Hidden Figures, which is great. And she is the only woman nominated in that category, by the way. So she said, I will do my best to represent. I think we need to do better in the future. I look forward to these categories being filled with women. So yay, Allison.
That's a good response.
Yeah, that is a good response. Anyway, so I'm sure we can work up some kind of voting, balloting, commenting at the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. But we're in the throes of it now, people. It's award season.
Okay.
And then just a couple of last things I wanted to mention. First of all, 2 weeks ago on the show, that's when I told you that I had just lost my beautiful dog, Ferris. And people were, oh my God, so nice. So many beautiful, beautiful messages in the Facebook group. So I just want to thank everybody for that. And special shout out to the people that went to the snail mail step, because I know we joke a lot about I'm the one that picks up the mail, and sometimes the mail doesn't really get dealt with. But yeah, there were cards from people. I especially want to thank Kathleen. Wrote me a very nice card and to say how sad she was, sending you love. And then she put XO Kathleen, and then in parentheses, a long, long, long time listener.
Oh,
so nice. That is very sweet of you, Kathleen, and to everyone else who, you know, went out of their way to acknowledge that. Anyway, I'm still very sad. It's lonely here, but
yeah, it must have been hard coming home from Mexico. Right.
It was. It's the first time I've come home and not have him waiting for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you feel a certain emptiness in the house. And as I had noted, originally I put his dog bed away and then I couldn't stand it. So I put it back out. So his dog bed is still, his dog bed is still where it used to be. And I just feel better being able to look at his dog bed. So on that note about lifting people up and doing things that are a little more joyous, thank you to Samantha for the silly post in the Facebook group yesterday.
That was excellent. Excellent.
She posted a little game just to try to get us all out of our spirals. And it was about just asking us all to list the name of the last book we had read, but then followed by the phrase "with a chainsaw." And you think, what is this about? But then when you actually start doing it, it's actually pretty funny. So I was on Mexican time with the chainsaw, but there's already more than 100 Satellite Sisters who have played Samantha's little game in the Facebook group. And it will make you smile. That's all I'm going to say. So thank you, Samantha, for helping us smile. So there you have it, sisters. Anything else we got to cover?
I think that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, we will. Do you guys have any TV recaps this week? There was no Madam Secretary this week?
There was no Madam Secretary, right?
Okay.
We're not sure when it's going to be on, but we will be watching and we will recap. How about that for an answer, Leanne? Did you like that?
That's a good one. Yeah, and I think we're just waiting for Outlander to come back. If Julie can stand it again, we'll probably, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen on the TV front? So, but yeah, we're just waiting for Madam Secretary to come back. So that's it. Yeah, and I have a dentist appointment this week. Looking forward to that.
Well, that's good. Well, remember Citrus Festival, though the citrus can be very hard on your tooth enamel from what I read. No. So just...
Hey, don't bring me down, Liz, okay?
All right, well, that's it for us this week. Remember, you can always email us, sisters@satellitesisters.com. Join our Facebook group. Like our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter. We're @SatSisters. Stay noisy, be civil, and don't forget, call your satellite sister.